Proclaim this morning the message that God laid on my heart a week before last as to the message that we need to hear this morning. Again, this week is July 4th, and we're preparing for some days off and time off and enjoying the freedom and the blessing that we have in our nation. But also, as in our prayer time, we're reminded as God's people that our nation needs to return to God and return to its dependence upon God, because it is God and His Word that is the foundation of our nation and that has brought such great blessing to us. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, we find the record there of Jesus' response, His reaction to the accusation by the religious leaders that He cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. In verse 25 of Matthew 12, Jesus said this: Jesus knew their thoughts, and He said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, destruction. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." Jesus said, a kingdom united stands. A kingdom divided falls. So this morning I want to speak to you on this subject. United we stand. Divided we fall. Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for the privilege that we have to gather here and to worship You this morning. Thank You for the freedom that we have in this nation to be able to gather and to call upon You. Lord, thank You for the many over the years of the life of this nation that have given their life that we could have this freedom. Thank You for the faith of our founding fathers that saw fit to institute a government and a constitution that would ensure that men and women, boys and girls, would have the freedom to worship and to call upon God. Thank You for the blessings that we have experienced throughout the years of the life of this great nation. Father, as we come before You this morning, as we look to Your Word, we ask You, Father, to help us to see the great spiritual need and condition of our nation, of our states, of our churches, of our homes, and of our personal faith and walk in relationship with You as God's people. Lord, help us to not just hear Your Word this morning, but to heed it to the end, God, that we might be drawn closer together and closer to You, that we might be the salt and light in the midst of a dark, lost, and dying world. Father, I pray that You'll remove every hindering force of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Cleanse our hearts, clear our minds, hide me behind the cross, fill me with Your Spirit, free me to preach Your Word. God, grant clarity, conviction, courage, and compassion. Lord, guard my tongue and lips from anything that's untrue, unholy, impure. God, may only You be lifted up and Your Word go forth here this morning. And we'll be careful to give You the praise, the honor, and the glory for all that You accomplish and all that You do. For we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I know you're familiar with that phrase, "United we stand, divided we fall." It's a slogan. It's a phrase that is heard often in many mottos. It's used to inspire unity and collaboration. It's based on this concept and this notion that if individual members of a coalition or a confederation or alliance, if they choose to work on their own instead of as a team, they're each doomed to fail and will all be defeated together. It'd be interesting for you to know that the history of this motto, of this slogan, goes all the way back to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the words that we just read in our text. And Mark chapter 3 and Luke chapter 11 records the very same instance and the same words that came from the lips of the Lord Jesus. This phrase is also one that is very prominent in the history of our nation. The first use of it was by John Dickinson, one of our founding fathers, in his pre-revolutionary hymn, The Liberty Song. The words go this way: "Then join hand in hand, brave Americans all. By uniting we stand, by dividing we fall." Patrick Henry used this phrase, this motto, in the very last speech that he made, He said this: "Let us trust God and our better judgment to set us right hereafter. United we stand, divided we fall. Let us not split into factions which must destroy that nation upon which our existence hangs." He literally collapsed at the end of that speech, was taken out 2 months later. He died. Abraham Lincoln, in his campaign against Stephen Douglas, in one of his speeches, used this house divided analogy to illustrate the need of a universal decision on slavery across all states. The motto has been seen and used in World War II posters. Winston Churchill used the phrase June 16, 1941, in a broadcast to London after receiving an honorary doctorate degree from the University of Rochester. I want to declare to you and suggest to you this morning that is this truth, that is the underlying truth under the very pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. In fact, I'd like to ask you this morning, would you join me and stand and let's salute and pledge the United States flag? Stand, salute, pledge. "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." Amen. You may be seated. I want to call our attention to that last phrase: "One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." When we are united under God, we stand. Divided, we fall. Some years ago, there was a great move to take that phrase, "under God," out of the Pledge of Allegiance. There are those who delete that phrase when they pledge allegiance. Thankfully, we have kept it in the Pledge of Allegiance, but I believe this morning that does not reveal that our nation itself is united under God. In fact, we may want to consider adding some words to our pledge today. It may be more truthful to say this: "One nation under the judgment of God, divided with licentiousness and lawlessness for all." We're no longer a nation united under God. Our nation today is as divided as it's ever been. It's divided politically, and I'm not just talking about Democrats and Republicans. It is divided socially. Racism, hatred, crime, violence. There's a rebellion against authority. It's divided morally. There are those who are pro-life, for the life of the unborn child. There are those who are pro-choice, literally pro-death, for the taking of the innocent life of unborn children. There are those who stand for the sanctity of marriage, one man, one woman, a lifetime together. And those who stand for redefining marriage and defining marriage as any two people who want to come together. Same sex, transgendered. It is a nation that is divided spiritually today. And that division rests upon what one perceives and what one believes concerning this book. Oh, how we need to hear the words of Jesus today. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. We began, we were blessed as a nation, as one nation under God, but we've forsaken the Word of God. We have forsaken the God of the Word, and now we're a nation under the judgment of God. So this morning, I simply want to make two observations about this nation divided in which we live today. I want to address, first of all, the cause, and then secondly, the cure of the division. There's no doubt we're a divided nation today. There's no doubt of this division. The question is simply this: what has caused this division? Or more specifically, who is the source of the division that is literally tearing our nation apart this morning? Well, see, there's two answers to that question. There's the secular answer, the answer that is being declared by our liberal media and mainstream culture today. And then there's this spiritual answer. There's this scriptural answer that I believe God's Word declares to us this morning. So the secular answer, let me just summarize it this way. The reason for the racism, the reason for the hatred, the reason for the violence, the reason for the division, the reason for this division in philosophies and government and our party system today, it's all because of those of a Christian faith and conviction. It's because of those who want to believe and declare that this book is the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. It is the Christians that's the problem in the society today. It's the Christians that's causing division. Because of the convictions that a Christian has about the sanctity of life and the sanctity of marriage, to declare that, to say I believe that, is to be declared judgmental and to be declared intolerant, to be accused of hate speech and hate crime. Those who believe the Word of God and would call men and women to humble themselves and submit themselves before the Word of God are seen as the reason this nation is in the mess that it's in today. You need only to go on to Facebook to find out and to learn. It is us in uneducated, unloving, intolerant, hellfire and brimstone preachers that arrogantly stand and declare and call sin what God calls it, that is causing the fall of this nation. It is those who are unloving, like a preacher who would declare abortion is sin and murder. How unloving for a man. How inconsiderate he is towards women. How unloving and how hateful it is to declare that when an individual has a desire and a preference and enters into a sexual relationship with another individual of the same sex, how unloving, how judgmental, how intolerant that is for a preacher to say such things. But as I posted on Facebook this week, I want to remind you, I didn't say that. God's Word says that. See, this week I had the privilege to go to the Bible Museum in Washington, D.C. And I find it interesting there in that great museum, a testimony to the inerrancy, the inspiration, the infallibility of God's Word, a testimony to how God's Word was revealed, how it was recorded how it has come to us today in the language that we can read it in today. A testimony to the fact of what Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. And that great museum literally stands in the capital of this nation that was founded by men of faith who believed this Bible was the Word of God. And there in our capital stands this great museum and this monument to the truth of God's holy Word in the midst of a day and time, in a time in which our legislators and many and most of our leaders and many of our professors and teachers in the halls of our classrooms literally deny the very Word of God, reject the very Word of God, relegate the Word of God to nothing more than stories and fables of men gone by. Those who believe God's Word is God's Word and declare it are the reason for the problems and division in our nation today. That's the secular answer. But folks, this morning I want to give you the scriptural answer. I want to give you what the Word of God says. I want to tell you, see, the Word of God tells us what's the cause of division today. The Word of God tells us who the cause of division is. In fact, the Word of God goes on to tell us that we who believe God's Word will be blamed for being the cause of division. See, you don't have to take my words for it. How about take the words from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself? David read the text this morning from Matthew. I want to read the first few verses again. Listen to what he said in verse 32 of Matthew 10. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Just as the world and culture today look upon this verse, they would literally say, well, Jesus is the division. Jesus is the source of division. But what Jesus is declaring here is this. It's not that Jesus is divisive. It is the message that Jesus proclaimed that was the source of division. See, those disagreeing with His message, it would cause division between those who agreed with His message. That's why Jesus said there'll be division in homes. There won't be peace in relationship because of this division. Those who believe what God's Word says, those who believe what Jesus taught and receive it, will be divided from those who don't believe it, who don't receive it, who reject it. Jesus taught that God created the world. Jesus taught that God created the first man and first woman and instituted marriage. His message was the message of Scripture. When they came to Him and they asked Him if it's okay for a divorce, He simply responded, have you not read? God created, and He created a male and female. And He said, therefore shall one man and one woman, a man shall leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. See, the message that Jesus taught was the message of Scripture. He affirmed the Word of God. He literally was the Word of God. He taught that marriage is one man and one woman in one lifetime. And so it wasn't Jesus, it was the message and how one received the message that would cause the division. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 52 through 53, it says, for from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father. The mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law. Big surprise there. And the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Why? Well, we're literally seeing it. We're living it today. A division based upon whether or not one believes the Word of God and receives the message of Christ and salvation, or whether they don't, whether they reject it and deny it. John himself said in John 7, verse 43, "So there was a division among the people because of him." He was teaching the Word of God. He was teaching, this is God's Word. This is the Word of God. This is the authority for life and for living. He taught that. Those who rejected that separated themselves from him, and those who believed what he preached and what he taught. The apostles of the New Testament, Paul said in Romans 16, verse 17 and 18, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Paul said, mark them, take note of them. Who are the ones that are causing the division? Those who don't believe the Word of God. Those who reject the Word of God. Those who preach this gospel that God is okay with sin in our lives. Jude said it in Jude 17 through 19. "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." And Jude said it plainly. Remember the Word of God. Remember what the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ taught you. They told you mockers were going to come. They told you there would be preachers that would preach a gospel that declared God's okay with our sin. But they have separated themselves. They have caused a division. They've separated themselves from the true Word of God, from the truth of the gospel. "They will mock those, they will persecute those," he said, "who preach the gospel and proclaim God is not okay with sin." Folks, in our study through the book of Genesis this year together, I've tried with all my heart to preach clearly and precisely what God's Word reveals. And in those opening chapters, we've seen in clear language, in precise language, the Word of God declared that this world and everything that exists in it was created in 6 days. Well, that's divisive, preacher. Science tells us it's millions and billions of years old and that there's no way that could be true. Why does it matter whether it was 6 days or millions and billions of years? Let me tell you why it matters. Because that's what God's Word said it was. 6 days. 6 literal days. It's the Word of God. In the time of the Reformation, 500 years ago, here was the prevailing belief in the church. God created everything instantly. And the reason he uses these 6 days, it was just a teaching tool. God used those days in revealing to Moses the process of his creation. It wasn't really 6 days. God created it all just like that. Well, men like Calvin and men like Luther stand up and say, no, wait a minute. God's Word plainly, clearly says he created in 6 days. And God's Word goes on to tell us why he did that, why he created in 6 days, why he rested on the seventh day. so that He would set forth for man a pattern for his week, that he would work 6 days, that he would rest on the seventh day. See, they stood up for what? What God's Word says literally. And so now 200 years ago, we've come into a place in time of reasoning where men want to doubt that God created and that we're accountable. In other words, they literally do not believe the Word of God is revelation of God. They've relegated everything in it to stories and fables. And they've looked to the ground and the fossils and to declare that this world has to be, must be millions and billions of years old. It has to be. That's the only way life could exist, by this process of evolution. And so preachers come up with theories, gap theories and day-age theories, and they try to relegate God's Word to be compromising and to be compatible with what the scientists tell us is true. This Bible says a man by the name of Jesus got out of the grave on Easter Sunday morning. Do you believe that? This Bible says that same man walked on water. You believe that? This Bible says a man by the name of Jonah was swallowed by a fish. You believe that? Well, when this man says God's Word says the world was created in 6 days, why all of a sudden we can't believe that? You know, scientists, they prove this world is millions and billions of years old. Let me tell you why it's important. If you don't believe God's Word in Genesis, you lose every basis of foundation for believing anything else God's Word is saying. In other words, you have questioned the authority of God's Word. It's either God's Word or it's not. And a God who can get out of the grave, who became His own creation, lived and died on the cross, and can get out of the grave, A God who can do all of that, it doesn't tax me one bit to believe this world is not millions of years old, merely thousands of years old. See, that's the issue. That's the question. The simple answer. What's the cause of our nation divided? Well, here it is. We're no longer one nation under God, because we no longer humble ourselves before the authority of God's Word. And therefore, we no longer see the need of the Savior who came and died on the cross, not so that God would be okay with our sin, but because God is not okay with our sin. He died on the cross and so we could be saved and freed from our sin, not free to live in sin. So that's the simple cause of this nation that's divided today. Well, let me speak for just a few moments on the cure. What's the cure? We're no longer one nation under God. We're divided. And divided we fall. What do we need to do? Well, preacher, that's easy. We got to unite. We got to come together. See, that's all I heard on whatever, as long of the debates as I could stomach, that's all I heard this past week. This America, we've got to get united. We got to come together. What they were saying is, we got to come together in denouncing this and whatever it tells us to do and what sin. If we'll just come together against this, this nation's going to be great again. The real cure for our nation, the divided, is to return to being a nation under God, not a nation under the judgment of God. See, we must be united by Scripture. In Acts chapter 14, Paul on his missionary journeys, listen to this account in Iconium, verse 3 through 7. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of His grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. See, when they were preaching there, there were some Jews that believed, but there were some Jews who didn't believe. And they were joined by the Gentiles who didn't believe. And they got together a mob, and they were intent on stoning the messenger. See, the message that Paul and his missionary team proclaimed, it divided that town. It divided that city. Those who heard it and believed, those who didn't believe. And those who didn't believe it wanted to stone those who preached it and were declaring. Just as those who don't believe the Word of God want to blame the church, and want to blame Christians, and want to blame preachers of the gospel for the division that is in our nation today. But I want you to take note what Paul did. Did he change what he preached? Did he compromise what he preached? Now, I give him this. He changed where he preached, but he didn't change what he He continued to preach the Word of God. He continued to preach the message. And so, folks, this morning, I simply declare to you, we'll never remedy the division in our nation today by compromising the Word of God. We'll never remedy the spiritual condition in our nation today by distorting the gospel and watering down the gospel that calls sinners to repentance. Turning from their sin, not rolling in it and leaping in it and enjoying it. We're never going to remedy the division by compromising it or distorting it. The only remedy for the plague in our society, for the immorality, for the lack of unity, for the hatred, for the violence, for the perversion that is destroying relationships, destroying homes, destroying families, destroying our society. The only remedy for that is the Word of God and the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us there comes a time when we need to quit preaching it and move on. Paul said to Titus 3, verse 10 through 11, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Now Peter says, be ready always to give in meekness and truth a reason for the hope that is in you. But God's Word also says this, when you answer one the second time with a clear teaching and truth of God's Word and they reject the gospel and they reject the authority of God's Word says there comes a time where just as Jesus said, you have to shake the dust off of your feet and move on. Why would you want to spend hours and days and weeks and months arguing with someone who doesn't believe the Word of God or the gospel when all around you, folks, there are homes and families and people in this community who are lost and dying at the harvest, the fields are white unto harvest, and people are looking for truth, they're looking for answers, they're looking for the gospel. There's no point in arguing those who fail to believe God's Word. Give them the opportunity. Answer them twice. But then move on down the road. Because chances are there's someone down there that's wanting to know, why is my life in a mess? Why is my home in a mess? Why is my relationships in a mess? Why am I hurting and grieving? Why am I so depressed and discouraged after this abortion? Why is my relationships falling apart? Why can't I have a lasting relationship in a same sex? There are people who are wondering that and wanting to know why. And God's Word answers the question. God's Word offers grace and salvation. So we've got to be united again by Scripture. And when we get united under the Scripture and under the authority of God's Word, then we move towards once again being a nation united by a Savior, united by the salvation that comes to us by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. See, it's not the Jesus the world preaches. The Jesus the world preaches is a Jesus that loves and accepts anyone and everyone, and He loves them no matter how sinful and rebellious they are. He loves them. He accepts them. But the Jesus the Bible preaches is a Jesus who loves sinners, but who came and died on the cross so that we might be forgiven of sin and freed from the shackles and chains of sin, that we might be able to live righteous before God. Jesus prayed to His Heavenly Father in John 17, verse 22 and 23, "And the glory which Thou gavest Me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, in them and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and hast loved Me as Thou hast, and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me." See, the Word of God teaches there's just something about unity in Christ. Unity, a love of one another. A love in times of disagreement. A love that forgives. It's just something about that unity that comes only when we acknowledge our own sinfulness and the need of the grace of God. There's a unity that comes with brothers and sisters in Christ who've experienced that same grace, and who we must extend that same grace to them. There's just a unity that comes there that cannot be found in any other relationship. That unity that comes to us in Christ. See, here's the simple answer. What's the cure? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." So what is Paul saying? He's saying, listen, the key to y'all's problems, the key to y'all's divisions in the church at Corinth, he said, it's just simple. Be of the same mind and the same judgment. Be of the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ and be of the judgment of what thus saith the Word of God. And I want to tell you, what works for a church will work for a nation. When we are of the same mind and the same judgment. The mind of Christ is a mind of humility and service and sacrifice. That'll bring unity, not division. The mind of Christ is that sin has brought death to this world and we're facing the judgment of a holy God. But the mind of Christ is that He would become sin, die for our sin on the cross, and provide forgiveness of that sin. And the judgment, the same judgment, what God's Word declares, that is what will bring unity in a nation. See, we were a nation under God, and please hear me. I'm not saying that we were decades ago a nation where everybody was Christians. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that in my lifetime, when I was born and raised in church, I lived in a nation in a day and time where not everybody was Christian, but everybody was of the same mind and judgment because they believed God's Word was God's Word, and they submitted themselves to it. So even if they weren't going to church, even if they weren't professing Christ, even if they were living in sexual relationships, they were inside the closet. Why? Because they were of the same mind and judgment. There's a holy God, and sin is wrong. And in that society, in that day and time, we were open and we honored and we reverenced preachers of the gospel. That's why Billy Graham could fill tents and stadiums and preach the gospel, and people would walk the aisle and profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But now we're living in a day and a culture where the authority of God's Word is no longer accepted. And therefore, we can put up tents, and we can have crusades, but you know who will come? The ones who are already in the church and in Christ who believe God's Word. The ones who don't and reject it, it's hard to get them to come. There's the division. See, we've gone from a day and time in our life to where the Bible said it. I believe it. That settles. To a day and time where who cares what God's Word says? I doubt it. That settles. The cure is to become one nation under God. Our fall as a nation began the moment we compromised the authority of Scripture and quit defending and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said it plainly, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. United, we stand. We hear a lot today of our president's slogan, campaign slogan, make America great again. America was strongest when she was united around the Word of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way we're ever going to be strong again or great again is if we unite around that same truth of God's Word and the gospel that leads to godliness and righteousness and love and unity and service and sacrifice. Divided, we fall. When we remove the Word of God from our classrooms, when we've taken it from the halls of our government, we become a house divided. No longer humbling ourselves before the authority of God's Word, now we want to proclaim our own gospel and proclaim our own God that's okay with sin. The only thing that's a problem is anyone who calls sin what God's Word calls it. We're divided politically, socially, morally, spiritually. We're one nation under the judgment of God. But I want to leave you with good news. The hope for America is the same hope for sinners separated from God in their sin. It's the hope of the gospel. Is humbling ourselves before the Word of God that declares, God created a world perfect, free of sin. Man fell in sin, brought sin, death, and the curse. God in love sent His Son to die on the cross to pay the price and penalty for our sin. That if we would repent and believe that we could be saved, that we could be forgiven. When individuals receive that, homes will be changed by it. Communities are changed by it. Churches will be changed by it. States and our nation will be changed by it. The only question this morning is, will we become one nation under God again? Or will we continue to be one nation under the judgment of God? United we stand. Divided. divided we fall. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, in these final moments, we acknowledge, first of all, how sinful we are. We acknowledge the state and condition of our society is just literally a reflection of what Your Word declares occurs because of sin. And Lord, that in these days and times, we who've been changed by the power of the gospel need to live in the power of that gospel to proclaim the truth to a world that's lost and dying in need of a Savior. And so, Father, we ask that in these days, by Your grace, Your Word says if we'll humble ourselves and call upon You and confess our sins, that God, You'll hear from heaven. You'll forgive our sin and You'll heal our land. So Lord, can we cry out to You this morning? Can we call upon You this morning in repentance and confession? And Lord, may we believe the truth of Your Word, the promises of Your Word this morning as Your people, that we might experience times of revival and refreshing. Lord, we just want to thank You right now for what You're going to accomplish and do. And God, grant that right now, this morning, someone might be freed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We ask You all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, we invite you to come to respond to God's Spirit. Won't you come this morning?